Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
My brothers and sisters, Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. It is Thursday, the 4th of February of 2021. Welcome. Thank you for spending some time with me. Today is my birthday, and I want to thank all of you that are already sending so many good wishes and prayers. My prayers go right back to you. You are in my prayers every single day, and I appreciate each and every person that comes and watches and listens, those who agree with us, those who don't. This is a good time for us to come together. And so thank you, and I want to talk about an important item. But you know, one of the things about today is it's the National Prayer Breakfast. It's an annual event that happens right at this time every February. And this was the event, by the way, which back in 1994 had Mother Teresa of Calcutta speak. And at that time, it was President Bill Clinton. And she got up there and she spoke a fiery speech about abortion. That was on this day, the National Prayer Breakfast, first week of February every year. And just a little while ago, it took place in Washington, and Biden spoke, and he said something about justice for all. Justice for all cannot be delayed. Well, you know, what does that really mean? Obviously for him and his party, it means something different than it does for us, and means something very different than I would say the plain meanings of the words, because justice, you treat everybody according to his or her due, you protect their basic rights, right? I mean, justice for all. See, the question here is, to whom does all refer? If it refers to every human being, well, then we have a serious question for Biden and the Democrat Party and anybody who's pro-abortion. The serious question we have is, does all include these little guys? Because what you see here is a very disturbing medical diagram, okay, this is not a church document, this is not a page from the Bible, this is not pro-life priests. Cristeta Santos Mariano, I am a priest, which is why I stand up and speak up against injustice and violence like this. Yes, we take sides, Cristeta. Yes, we take sides. Brothers and sisters, if you can't take sides against this, you see the baby's arms and legs being pulled off? Well, then you're violating your own human dignity, not to mention the dignity of that child. Yes, we take sides. When those who are perpetrating evil like this, those who are asking us to fund it, Mr. Biden wants us to pay for this. Let that sink in for a moment. The whole Democrat Party platform says we should be not only allowing what you see before your very eyes, but we should be paying for it. This is legal activity in the United States of America. It's legal. Can anybody tell me that there's not something wrong with what you're seeing right now? This is legal, and they want us to pay for it. Biden just increased the amount of money that's going to organizations that do this kinds of thing in other countries. I don't know what kind of language people want to speak in or need to speak in to make it clear that that's wrong. You shouldn't need any words. You just look at it and you say, hey, I'm a decent human being. I don't believe it's a good thing to pull the arms and legs off of a baby. Now, if you don't believe that that's what's happening, don't take my word for it. Don't listen to me. Go look up abortion. Go get the medical textbook called Abortion Practice by Warren Hearn. He's an abortionist in Boulder, Colorado. He wrote one of the textbooks about how it's done. And he describes exactly what you see here. This diagram was made not by the church, not by a pro-life group, not by me. This diagram was made by Nucleus Medical Media. It's a company that does medical diagrams for, you know, textbooks or court proceedings when there are medical issues being discussed in court trials. They will create diagrams. So, you know, has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a priest. If I just put on a regular shirt instead of this Roman collar, would anything here change? I mean, I would look a little bit different, right? As a matter of fact, if I weren't wearing this hat, you know, if I were, I don't know, a Democrat or a libertarian or, you know, whatever I am politically, whatever I am religiously, whatever I am ethnically, all that, change that whichever way you want. Whatever language I speak, whatever country I come from, whatever citizenship status I have, change that around whatever way you want. And then tell me what changes about this. I'll wait. Go ahead, tell me. In fact, let's all wait. Let's just pause. Because there's something here very harmful going on right now. And that is, we've lost the ability to think. So right now, we're going to pause. And I want the questions that I've asked just now to penetrate in your minds and in your hearts. And penetrating your minds and your hearts, they need to come out of your lips. If you know somebody who voted Democrat in this last election, now's the time to ask them a simple question. Is there or is there not? It's just yes or no. Something wrong with this. Now, if they can't answer that question, then again, I go back to what I just said. Something very wrong is going on here, and very dangerous. Because not only can we no longer think clearly, but we can no longer protect our children. We're actually voting for people that not only think this is a right, but they want us to pay for it. We've lost the ability to protect our children and therefore our species. And so he gets up there this morning at a prayer breakfast and says, we need to have justice for all. Those of you that voted for this man, do you know what's going on here? Because if you do, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And if you don't, it's time to speak up. It's time to realize what you're supporting here. I you know, there's not too many other words that can be said here. This is something that should not need words. When you see what this is, it shouldn't need any words if you have a functioning conscience. But that's not even the main thing I want to talk to you about here this morning for a few minutes. Before I go into my main topic, let's just take a moment. You know, I have my book here, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. Many of you have this book. It's a little reflection for each day of the year and based usually on a scripture quote. And let's see what we have for today. The letter of Paul to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, Paul writes in Romans 7. For I do not do what I want. Rather, I do what I hate. Reflection. Abortion advocates say we should, quote, trust women to make their own decisions. Are we then to simply trust that people won't lie, cheat, run through red lights, or rob a local store? Should we just trust? At times, people do not respect the rights of others. That is why laws exist. Let us pray. Lord, with St. Paul, I acknowledge that I am inclined to sin despite my best intentions. Help us all as we struggle against evil. Amen. So prolifereflectionsforeveryday.com, you can get your copy of this. Again, a helpful reflection each day of the year. So here's what I want to talk about. Let's go over to the board. As I've been saying, And I'll give you a website here, prolifepresident.com. As I've been saying, we have just lived through the most pro-life presidential administration in our history, and it hasn't been just words, concepts, and aspirations. It's been concrete accomplishments in policy. And you can see many of those concrete accomplishments at that website. So now we're in a period of time when we need to remind ourselves, in fact, that's not even reminding, for a lot of people it's learning for the first time, what those accomplishments were, how very significant those accomplishments are, and what they mean for us and for our future. And then, after we learn what they are, we are more capable to defend those policies. Okay, we're talking about policy accomplishments under President Trump. And after we learn and we defend, we build on those policies. We have to defend them because now the new administration wants to tear down and undo those particular policy accomplishments. But if we only talk in slogans, you know, or in partisan talking points, then we're not really getting to the bottom of what are we talking about. So I just want to look at one of those policy accomplishments. And as we go along with these daily broadcasts, you know, we'll look at others one by one. ProLifePresident.com. Okay. One of the things that that Mr. Biden said recently with these various executive orders that he's been signing is that he wants the United States to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. Now, if you go to ProLifePresident.com, first of all, you will see, among other, many other things, the progress that President Trump made in protecting the environment. He is just as concerned about protecting the environment as any of the rest of us. And in fact, America is number one in terms of protecting the environment. We are the world's leader in environmental protection, the USA. And we're doing pretty good in terms of our track record under these last few years about having the cleanest air and water. Number one in environmental protection. Remember, we're talking about the whole world here. So people might say, smoggy outside, or oh, look at all the cars, or oh, we have pollution. Yeah, but when you look at the whole world, we're number one in environmental protection. Now, what is this Paris Climate Accord? Here's what you have to understand, my friends, and I'll map this out for you a little bit more. It's not about protecting climate. It's about putting the USA at an economic disadvantage on the world stage. It's not about climate. It's about putting the USA at an economic disadvantage. How would you like, by 2025, and I'm asking this question, of all those who think that this is a good idea, and by the way, I'm not just asking American citizens, I'm asking people from other countries too. And the Vatican is a country. I'm asking people all around the world, you tell me, and you tell me now, if you think it's a good idea that by 2025, 2.7 million jobs are lost in the USA. You want to insult us and tell us that you think that that's a good idea? How about by 2040, $6.5 million in industrial jobs lost, $3 trillion in gross domestic product lost, $7,000 less each household in income. Does anybody want to just stand up and insult us right now by saying hooray to this? This is part of the impact of the ridiculous, unfair, unjust, boneheaded thing that is called the Paris Climate Accord. In fact, let's put the words up there right now. It's boneheaded. Okay? You've got to be either entirely out to lunch, completely clueless, either that, either the head is empty or the heart is empty. I don't know which one, or both. Either you've got to be completely clueless about any of the economic analysis here, or you've got to not care. Maybe you're an enemy of the United States. Don't you care about your children? You care about your grandchildren? You don't care about the impact here? I don't understand. And I want those who vote for this kind of garbage to explain yourselves. Explain yourselves. Is it that you just paid no attention? You paid no attention? During the whole election, you paid no attention to the impact that this is going to have on our country? And maybe you're still not paying attention now? You pay no attention. Let's look at another factor about this. The Paris Climate Accord, by the way, President Trump got us out of this, okay? President Trump, let's just back up a little bit for a moment, make sure everyone's clear. President Trump got us out of this thing. Now Biden is putting us back into it. But President Trump didn't close the door completely. You know what President Trump said? He said, number one, I'm concerned about the environment. Let's do what we need to do to make sure we're continuing to protect the environment, okay? He said, I'm also concerned about your jobs. I'm concerned about your economic future. I'm concerned about your children, about your families. I'm concerned about our economic well-being. I'm concerned about both. And this puts us at a disadvantage. So what he said, President Trump said, let's renegotiate this. Let's take the good elements of what we can do better as a world community to protect our environment, but let's do it in such a way that doesn't put America at such a disadvantage. Now, to spell out that disadvantage a little bit more, besides what I already just told you with some of those numbers, looking ahead to what's going to be the impact on our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and beyond, look at the unfairness and the obligations of the nations. Let me just get this clear here. Okay, let's take China and India. While America would have to take immediate drastic steps to decrease our emissions, China, under this agreement, can do what it wants regarding emissions for 13 years.
scot-free. Off the hook. Not us, not America, but China. They can do what they want. And India? Oh, India. Oh, yeah. Let's go into the Paris Climate Accord. They'll agree, provided they receive billions of dollars. Not us, but India. China can build hundreds of coal plants. Not America. We've got to shut down the coal industry in America. India can double its coal production. Not America. Not America, but India and China. Okay, so those of you that voted for Biden, were you unaware of this? Or do you want America to be last? Is that what you want? Is that the burning desire of your heart? That China and India just, they can do what they want. No, don't let a single person for a single moment get on some kind of moral high horse about the environment. I'm sick of hearing about it. Don't let one single person for one moment try to get in onto some pulpit and start criticizing President Trump about, oh, but he doesn't care about the environment. Would you open your eyes just for one day and take a look at some of these things? Let's see what else. I mean, this is just a brief summary I have in front. Oh, the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal wrote this about the Paris Climate Accord President Trump was talking about this. The reality is, I'm quoting from the Wall Street Journal, that withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord, which President Trump did, withdrawing is in America's economic interest and won't matter much to the climate. What it matters much to is the harm done to the American economy. Here's one final point I want to say to you before we conclude. What would be the long-term impact if this accord were fully implemented? We jump into it, we follow all the rules, bear all the burdens, let those jobs disappear, let those companies close, let the unemployment rate soar to the heavens. Oh, but it'll be a clear sky. But the unemployment will be soaring to the heavens. But if there were full compliance from all the nations, by the year 2100, it is estimated that the climate change amount would be 0.2 degrees by 2100. And to counteract that gain, you only need that gain on America's part, America's contribution, in all that time, 14 days of emissions from China erase all the benefit that America contributes to this massive improvement in the Earth's climate. After we would have spent billions of dollars closing factories and losing jobs. I'm no climate or economic expert, but I don't need to be and neither do you, because this is pretty clear. Brothers and sisters, we got to speak up. Sit back down here and just conclude. We hear about these different steps that are being taken. We hear about, see these executive orders being signed. You know, we hear the talking heads going back and forth about this and that, and you know, the sound bites and the climate, and oh, this is a big top moral priority. If something is morally important, and care for the environment is morally important, the moral importance of the issue we're trying to deal with puts on us an obligation to study the consequences. It puts on us an obligation to pay attention to these details. It puts on us an obligation to assess the impact on our future, on our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, workers, factories, jobs, economy, gross domestic product. It puts on us a duty to pay attention to these things. Have you heard any of these things coming from the mouths of those who say, oh yeah, I support Biden because I support the Paris Climate Accord. Yeah, but we never hear the third part of that. In fact, we'll hardly ever hear the second. The only thing I hear from people who support Biden is that they hate Trump. But if you find, and let me know if you do, any Biden supporter who has any kind of a reason for having supported him, if they go so far as to say, oh yeah, I support him because I think we should rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. Good. Okay. Tell us why. Have you ever heard anyone explain it to you? And maybe you have. And if they've analyzed it and if they really think that they have a good reason, listen, God bless them. I respect those that disagree and certainly defend their right to disagree. But let's hear it is all I'm saying. Let's hear it. We're not hearing it. It's not an honest discussion. You don't get to stand up and trash the actions of our previous president and have absolutely nothing to say about the reasons he took those actions and the logical implications of doing it one way or the other. So unless the people that support Biden can answer these points and show us how this is wrong, show us the economic analysis from your perspective, and let's have an honest, open debate. But see, they don't want honest, open debate. They don't. I haven't heard it. Let me know if you do. Let me know if there's a single person who has a single thing to say about this. So, okay. Well, that's all the time we have for this today. Again, go to prolifepresident.com and you'll see it digs deep. It digs deep into the various policy accomplishments. And, you know, as I said all during the election, and it continues to be true today, that we need to focus on policies, not personalities. And, you know, it's sort of like the other side of the coin now, you know, where some people said, oh, well, I don't like President Trump's personality. And by the way, I'm not saying that. I don't have a problem with that. But some people say, oh, I don't like his personality. And then they can go one of two ways. They can either say, well, therefore I oppose him. Or you'll have those who say, I don't like his personality, but I like his policies. So I'm going to support him because of his policies. And so now you've got a lot of people saying, oh, I support Biden because I do like his personality. Okay, I'm listening. Policies? Are you paying attention to the policies? What would you rather have? somebody who kills jobs for our future and for our children and smiles. Or somebody who yells and maybe even curses, but your children and grandchildren are in a prosperous economy and they've got their jobs secure and they are starting small businesses and flourishing and no more burdensome government regulation. Well, which do you prefer? The smiling person who brings you misery? Or the person who could be a little rough around the edges who brings you prosperity? Simple question, friends. And I think it deserves a simple answer. Well, God bless you for... we have to speak up. We can change things. There's another election coming. People need to know. Your elected representatives need to know where you stand. Sign up with us, if you would, at prolifemaga.com. Because things like this and many other policies, including this big issue that we were just talking about, are on our agenda, and we're going to be talking and we're going to be educating people. Again, we got to be clear, we got to be forceful, we got to be respectful. But part of respect really is helping people think. And if we can help each other think, maybe we can get beyond some of the harm that occurs when we just deal in slogans and partisanship and personalities instead of really looking at the implications of policy. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you bless our environment. Give us clean air and water and soil and protect, Lord, the home, the common home in which we all live on this earth. But Lord, also protect our families and our future. Protect our jobs and our economy. Protect our standing in the world. Lord, let us not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of as a nation or as a people. Give our leaders wisdom. Give our citizens, give the voters wisdom. And help us, Lord, to raise our voices for what we know is right. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. A lot of good comments coming in. I appreciate the encouragement, and I appreciate all the birthday prayers and wishes. Thank you. You're in my prayers as well, and may the Lord bless you and strengthen you and protect you always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here at Priests for Life. We will talk to you soon.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone someplace there in the audience, so I appreciate you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.